morning, everyone.
Good morning.
Welcome to worship at Glenshaw Valley. We're so happy that you are here with us today. I have several announcements to share with you this morning. The first is that there's a typo in the bulletin. So the communion hymn is going to be Come to the Table, which is number 508. And our closing hymn is going to be Go, My Children, with My Blessing, which is 547. I will prompt you whenever that is happening, so don't worry. I just wanted to make you aware of it right now. The second is to announce that we are having our spring congregational meeting immediately following worship today. After the benediction, I'll invite visitors to head out, and then we'll move into our meeting. The third announcement is I wanted to start announcing our Holy Week worship schedule because it is a little bit different than it has been in the past. So next Sunday, if you could believe it, is Palm Sunday. We will be meeting here at 11:15 for our worship service. That Thursday, which I believe is the 18th of May, will be our Monday, what?
April.
Did I say May? April. April. And it will be here in the sanctuary at 8 o'clock. And then our Easter service will be here at 11:15. But before the service, we are going to have our Easter breakfast in McFadden. What time does that usually start?
10 o'clock.
10 o'clock. So please plan to mark your calendar for all of these things. Final announcement, I just want to remind the deacons that we are going to meet next Sunday after church because the third Sunday of the month is Easter, and we're not having any meetings after church on Easter. So please plan to meet this coming Sunday, the 14th, at 12:30-ish. All right, I think those are all of our announcements. Let us transition into our call to worship. Jesus said, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in Christ will never die. The Lord makes a new covenant with us. We are God's people. The Lord is our God. Keep pressing on toward the goal, the heavenly call of God in Jesus Christ. At this time, I invite you to rise and join with me for our opening hymn, Lord, I Lift Your Name on High. The lyrics will be on the screens.
Rebecca, you will need to change the first hymn.
Oh.
The keyboard is not working today.
Okay.
So let's do 396 in the Glory to God hymnal. So I'll just stay at the organ here.
Yes, number 396.
Reverend, we have met to
worship. Oh, I'm at 296. I'm like, that doesn't look like the right song. 396. I'm sorry, I'm just confusing everyone.
Oh,
Join with me for our prayer of confession. Gracious God, our sins are too heavy to carry, too real to hide, and too deep to undo. Forgive what our lips tremble to name, what our hearts can no longer bear, and what has become for us a consuming fire of judgment. Set us free from a past that we cannot change. Open to us a future in which we can be changed. And grant us grace to grow more and more in your likeness and image. Through Jesus Christ, the light of the world. Let us join together with our words of assurance. Hear the good news. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. He himself bore our sins in his body on the cross, that we might be dead to sin and alive to all that is good. In the name of Jesus Christ, we are forgiven. Amen. Let us say together the words of our faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended to heaven.
And the third day he rose again from the dead.
He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. Having been reconciled to God in Jesus, let us share signs of that reconciliation and peace with one another by greeting one another in faith.
Good morning.
Good morning.
We're here at Glenshaw Valley Presbyterian Church, as you well know, and as you entered this morning and have come in the entryway, you may have noticed that the ceiling is starting to peel and buckle, and that's a result of the bell tower leaking. It has several cracks up there, and it needs to be repaired, and we have some posts that need to be replaced, and it is a costly event. So while we're here, Cliff has a little slide presentation for those who've never been in the bell tower to show you what it looks like up there on the interior. So he's going to go through the slides, and then each one of the slides will show you what's going on up in the bell tower. The tower is not falling down. However, the leaking will not stop until we get it completely redone with a roofing material, and we need to do this as soon as we possibly can. Needless to say that since we've lost our money with Dart moving out of the building, and we had to take some money out of our investments to cover the loan that we had that Dart was helping to pay for, we are in need of funds. I hate to ask for money, but here I am. So if you can open your hearts and your pocketbooks for this cause, that would be great. We do have somebody in mind as a contractor to make this happen for us. And as it turns out, we also have someone who is going to be a member very soon, Mr. Roy Weckerly, who has volunteered his time, material, and services to do the plaster work in the entryway. So that is something that needs to be done after the bell tower is fixed. But if we want to continue to hear the bells in Glenshaw Valley continue to ring out, we need your help. So here I am asking for a minute to ask for your help, and we'll prayerfully be able to make this happen. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Clara, for sharing that. We appreciate any help that you're able to give. I know we ask a lot, but we're stepping out in faith that God is going to provide us with the resources we need to fix the tower. All right, let us quiet our hearts and our minds for our choir's anthem.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'm right here, so.
Okay, I'll try to talk very loud. We have a prayer request from John and Carol Kane. They are asking for prayer. Okay. They are asking for prayers for John and his sister Barbara Naiman. Their sister Carol Malt died on Friday. He asked her to please be in prayer for her daughter Nora and her grandchildren. Carol was an author and Middle East scholar, and her ashes will be taken to Qatar.
At this time, I invite us to rise for our hymn of preparation. Oh, Father, we have wandered. Are we going to be able to do that on the organ? Great, just wanted to check. Please rise, the lyrics will be on the screen. Be seated. Let us pray. Eternal God, at the baptism of Jesus in the River Jordan, you proclaimed him your beloved Son and anointed him with the Holy Spirit. Grant that all who are baptized in his name may keep the covenant they have made. By the mercy of Christ our Lord, let us pray for our concerns. Lord, we pray that you would strengthen those who face particular challenges. Lord, we pray for the family and friends of Carol Malt as they walk through the valley in the shadow of death. Be with her sister Barbara and her brother John, especially. Lord, we pray for our world. We pray that your kingdom would come and your will be done. Lord, we pray for our churches here in North America as we anticipate and we look forward to Easter. Lord, we pray that your church would be a beacon of light and hope to those who need it. In silence now, we lift our personal prayers to the Father. Lord God of the nations, you have promised your will to all people and promised us your saving help. May we hear and do what you command, that the darkness may be overcome by the power of your light. This we ask through Christ our Savior, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Friends, let us continue to worship God by presenting our offering. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you continue to bless us abundantly. We pray that we would use these gifts for the glory of your kingdom. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Today's reading comes from John 12, verses 1 through 8. 6 days before the Passover, Jesus came to Bethany, the home of Lazarus, whom he had raised from the dead. There they gave a dinner for him. Martha served, and Lazarus was one of those at the table with him. Mary took a pound of costly perfume made of pure nard, anointing Jesus' feet, and wiped them with her hair. The house was filled with the fragrance of perfume. But Judas Iscariot, one of his disciples, the one who was about to betray him, said, "Why was the perfume not sold for 300 denarii and the money given to the poor?" He said this not because he cared about the poor, but because he was a thief. He kept the common purse and used it to steal what was put into it. Jesus said, "Leave her alone. She bought it so that she might keep it for the day of my burial. You always have the poor with you, but you do not always have me." Bless the reading of the word.
Let us pray. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be pleasing and acceptable to you, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Our scripture passage for this morning is a story about the difference that generous love makes in a person's life. This week, I was reflecting on where I've experienced this type of generous love, and my thoughts drifted back to my fifth grade teacher, Mr. Jazzcar. When I was 3, I tripped and I fell down a flight of stairs. As a result of this accident, I suffered bilateral hearing loss in both of my ears. This basically means that I can hear, but not well. When I was in college, I started wearing hearing aids that correct the problem for the most part. But as a child, I was a little bit stubborn and flat out refused to wear them because I was scared I was going to get made fun of. So my guidance counselor took this information and decided that in elementary school, I should be placed in special ed classes. Despite my hearing loss, I am actually academically gifted. In fact, I believe the word that would be appropriate is I'm a bit of a nerd. I've always enjoyed reading and writing and learning new things. So what happens when you put a gifted child in special ed? They get bored. And when they're bored, they start to misbehave. By the time I entered fifth grade, I was basically failing all of my classes because I refused to do my homework. The homework was so easy, it felt like a waste of my time. Fifth grade was also the year that I discovered the Harry Potter book series. My favorite book in the series was the third one, Harry Potter and the Prisoner of Azkaban. Well, as luck would have it, I chose the day of parent-teacher conferences to bring the book in and sit in the back of the classroom and read the book and not pay attention at all to what was happening in class. Now, my fifth grade teacher could have taken my behavior at face value. This is a lazy student who's never going to amount to much. Instead, that night at parent-teacher conferences, he told my mom, "I don't think Rebecca needs to be in special ed. She's reading at a high school level. I'm going to talk to her guidance counselor, and we're going to switch her into gifted classes in middle school." If I had to pick one thing that forever altered the course of my life, it was switching out of special ed classes and into gifted classes. Since I was no longer bored, I started doing my homework again. I made friends with other nerds. I quit goofing off in class, and I started to actually look forward to going to school. I carried this love of learning through high school, college, and seminary. Because of Mr. Jaskar, I truly believe that every child is one caring adult away from either success or failure. In fact, when you hear the stories of successful adults, most of them talk about an adult who loved them, who took a special interest in their success, or who challenged them to be the best version of themselves. An adult who loved generously, expecting nothing in return. I call this being loved into our futures. I think our scripture passage for this morning is a good example of the difference such a generous love can make in a person's life. Our passage begins 6 days before the Passover, on the eve of Jesus's triumphal entry into Jerusalem, but also his betrayal and arrest. This is a critical time in Jesus's life and ministry. The cross is coming, and how Jesus prepares himself for it matters. During a dinner party held in Jesus' honor, Mary pours out an expensive jar of perfume, and she washes Jesus' feet with her hair. This was an incredible act of generosity. Judas is not wrong when he points out that this perfume costs the equivalent of a year's worth of wages for a day laborer. Jesus thanks Mary for her generosity, but his disciple, Judas, is outraged. He asks Jesus, "Why wasn't this perfume sold and the money given to the poor? It was worth a year's wages." The ironic thing about Judas is he doesn't actually care about helping the poor. He also doesn't really care that much about money. In a few chapters, he's going to betray Jesus for a very small amount of money. Having never experienced this kind of generous love himself, when he sees it, he can't help but get angry. But Jesus is having none of it. "Leave her alone," Jesus says. "It was intended that she should save this perfume for the day of my burial. You will always have the poor among you, but you won't always have me." Mary's act of generosity was meant to prepare Jesus for his burial. Mary's extravagant love of Jesus prepares Jesus to show extravagant love to us on the cross. Ironically, as Mary anoints Jesus with this costly perfume, it is Judas who is exposed as a hypocrite. I tend to read this story around this time in Lent almost every year. I believe it's a story that shows up in a few gospel accounts. This year, when I was reading the story, I couldn't help but feel a little bit sorry for Judas. I don't mean I'm accepting his behavior, but I wondered if Judas had ever experienced a Mary kind of love. I wondered if he himself has ever known the difference such a love can make. I want to warn us against this kind of common temptation to label every Christian we meet as either a Mary or as a Judas. It's been my experience that most disciples are this beautifully frustrating combination of both Mary and Judas. Also, the grace of Jesus extends to both the Marys and the Judases of the world. The faithful and the unfaithful and everyone in between. I hope our scripture passage for this morning encourages you to reflect on where you have seen extravagant love in your life. I hope that all of us can think of at least one example where somebody went above and beyond to love us. Maybe you're thinking of a teacher who believed in you when you didn't believe in yourself. Maybe you're thinking about a coach who demanded your best effort each and every time you set foot on the court. Maybe you're thinking about a spouse who loved you through a rough season at work or with the kids. In the lives of each congregation that I serve, I can't help but think of our endowments as an example of the generous love that Mary gives Jesus. This is money that has been set aside from the saints who have gone before us, where they themselves are not directly benefiting from this money they set aside. To me, this is the ultimate act of generosity, to give something away with no hope or expectation that it will be returned to us. This week, my challenge for us is to think about who we can love extravagantly. Who can we love in a way where we're giving away ourselves in service to God? I think the most important things that we have to give away are our time and our energy. And when you're thinking about where and how you want to give these things away, think about how you can give them away without really receiving them back in return. As I was preparing this sermon this week, I stumbled across this Greek proverb that I think summarizes the passage pretty well. It says, "A society grows great when old men plant trees whose shade they know they shall never sit in." Friends, as we enter into spring and as we prepare ourselves for Easter, I wonder what trees God is inviting us to plant. I also believe that however we choose to give away our time or our energy in service to God, God receives it as a beautiful sacrifice. Thanks be to God. In Jesus' name, amen. Friends, at this time, I invite you to rise for our communion hymn, Come to the Table, number 508. Remembrance of me.
the gifts of God for the people of God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you that you have united us in this sacrament. We pray that you would send us out in the power of your Spirit to be a light in the world wherever we are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please rise for our closing hymn.
Which is Go, My Children, With My Blessing, number 547. Remember, you go nowhere by accident. Wherever you go, God has sent you. Wherever you are, God has a purpose to you being there. Christ who dwells in you has something he wants to do through you, wherever you are. Believe this and go in his grace and love and power. Amen.